Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, good morning. Welcome back. This is the Christian Whistleblower Show. I am Jeffrey Dardy. We've come to another Friday, roaring on through towards the middle of July here. And here we are with the Christian Whistleblower Fresh Daily Show. And of course, what we typically do here is break up our 2-hour weekly program. That's heard on Wednesday nights. You can check my website, jeffreydardy.com or christianwhistleblower.com, and find out when, where, how you can listen to that show. And we welcome you to visit the website. There's always a lot of good stuff there. But we take and break down that show into bite-sized chunks here because, let's face it, not everybody has the opportunity or the desire to sit down for 2 hours straight and listen to the radio. But we do encourage you to visit the website, a lot of good stuff there. And we have something there called Religion Watch Daily. And there is a line at top that says contact us to submit your own items. And we like to submit and talk about interesting spiritual or religious related items on Religion Watch Daily. Things like, would finding aliens shatter religious beliefs? That's actually an interesting question. This article talks about the discovery of life beyond Earth and would it shake up our view of humanity's place in the universe? And they made the decision or the summation that it probably wouldn't. Seriously threaten, organized religion experts say. And, you know, I am of the opinion, and if you continue to listen or go back and listen to some of the older programs, that we may well indeed have in our future a great alien invasion, a great alien arrival. I'm more of the... See, there's a few things that are going to happen, and we're going to get into this today as far as Paul's first great diversion. And Paul started, you know, Paul, I'm not sure that he knew the enormity or the bigness of what he was doing when he came up with this diversion to take the heat off of him. But what we're talking about is because of what has happened from then until now, and because of the desires of the Lord to reign and rule over this planet at all costs, we're going to soon see, I think, relatively soon. Of course, we've been saying soon since 2,000 years ago, but we will see a great false flag in the end times, purporting to be either the return of Jesus, who of course will be plastic Jesus, not Yeshua, but we will see a great end time false flag featuring either the return of Jesus or the arrival of benevolent extraterrestrials or aliens. And if aliens ever do come, I don't think they would be benevolent, but at any rate, the Lord is either going to set himself up as a benevolent extraterrestrial and return in that capacity, or what I really think is going to happen is he's going to set himself up as a fake second coming Jesus. If you do see a benevolent extraterrestrial return or a extraterrestrials coming to destroy and take over, what you're probably seeing is a holographic governmental false flag in order to help them be the heroes and set up. The Lord would be coming back to gain control of the planet once again by passing himself off and faking himself off to be Jesus. So see, a lot of things get started over here in Religion Watch Daily. Pastor John Piper says that women who wax their private parts are hurting God's work. He really said it. You know, I just report the news. And also, welcome to the Christian Facebook alternative. A lot of Christians are finding that Facebook is just too immoral for them. So a group of evangelical Christians recently took matters into their own hands and are building their own social network. And I understand from reading the article, like on Facebook, when you like something, here you say amen. So very interesting stuff going on always in the world of religion, the crazy world of religion. And just to recap a little bit of where we've been this week and kind of set up where we're going, well, what we're doing is this. We're talking about how the New Testament has been, it's just been doctored. It's been altered. A false timeline has been created by completely hijacking the order of the New Testament books by creating a timeline that seems to state that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote, gave us the basics, then Paul came along, gave us the advance, and then prophecy comes at the end. By creating this false, phony timeline, the powers that be, big time religion, has successfully created really an alternate timeline. They've changed history, they've changed time, and they've got us living in a world that does not exist, just doesn't exist. The Bible is not what they say it is. It's not in the order that they say it was in. And the reason why it's out of order is because if you read it in chronological order, you can see the development and the flow of doctrine, and you can see that it is something much, much different than what is being presented to us. And you know, I'm going to do something. This just hit me, and we're going to do this at least for the weekend, at least for maybe I'll do it for a few days. We're going to offer the Diamond New Testament ebook version. The Diamond New Testament is the first version of the New Testament to be presented in its correct chronological order. I compiled it. It's on my website at jeffreydaugherty.com. It's usually $5 for the ebook. If you write me, ask me for that, I will make the Diamond New Testament available for at least two or three, at least the weekend for any donation. You can make any donation. It's normally $5 for that ebook, but you can make any donation and we'll get it in your hands. It's just that important because we are living in a world, we're living in a deception that is not real. It truly is a matrix because the way we understand the New Testament is not the way it unfolded. And amazingly, they got all of Paul's books in the correct order, but completely jumbled the books of the apostles of Yeshua for obvious reasons. They're trying to keep Paul's teachings in a coherent form, and they're trying to jumble the revelation of the apostles to let you know or to try to make you believe it was just one big happy family, when in reality it was the apostles of Yeshua battling against the forces of Paul in the New Testament. And we talked about this week how James, who was the leader of the New Testament church after Jesus left, how he worked, he pleaded, he begged, he was very patient, a lot of preaching, a lot of talking, trying to bring Paul into the fold, couldn't do it, finally took his pen in hand and wrote and began to talk about Paul, began to show that Paul, of course, was a false teacher. And James, which was the first book of the New Testament, not Matthew. James was the first book of the New Testament written in A.D. 47. Matthew wasn't written until A.D. 66. So, of course, it makes sense that they would put Matthew before James. They're trying to fool you, and they've successfully fooled you. And here we are, better late than never, fooling you, at least giving you the information that allows you to be unfold. But James comes out, and the eighth verse he writes is, a two-souled man with divided interest is unstable in all his ways. It's a perfect description of Paul, a guy who was a Roman and a Jew with connections to both the temple and Caesar. That you can't get a better description of a two-souled man with divided interest. And then James writes in his 13th through 17th verses, that there is a man, well, he actually was writing about how original sin, which is the original doctrine of Paul, that you're born with sin. Yeshua says no, and James says you've got the spark of divinity within, not original sin. And then in James 2:6, he tells us that there's a rich man who's oppressing you and dragging you before the tribunals. It's a perfect picture of what we know Paul was doing. I've shared with you before and proven with you on multiple occasions that Paul was the heir of the Halliburton of the day. His family was the number one tent contractor to the Roman army. He was very rich, and he was, of his own confession and admission, dragging believers into the tribunal. So James is obviously talking about the Apostle Paul. He talks about his wanton arrogance, and he talks about how Paul is, in fact, a guy that is coming against the church. He's not a guy that's part of the church. He's done his best to try to bring Paul in, but Paul just won't play ball, as it were, with the Apostle James. And he had no choice but to go ahead and come out and just let the world know that Paul isn't the dude that he says he is. James chapter 4, verse number 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever is friend of this world is the enemy of God. Paul was the friend. Paul was the friend of Rome. Paul was the friend of the temple. Paul was the friend of the world. He was the enemy of God, and James couldn't have been any more plain in his rendition of it. So here's Paul. He hasn't written any books. He hasn't written anything down yet, and he's getting lambasted by James. So what does Paul do? Well, Paul sits down and writes a book too. And interestingly enough, he writes it to the Thessalonians. He writes it to the people in Thessalonica. Why would he not write to the believers in Jerusalem? Why would he not just go ahead and write to the apostles? Because he knew that that was a battle he could not win. So instead, he writes to Thessalonica, which is a thoroughly Greek city. It's part of his stronghold. So Paul's not really trying to prove himself in Jerusalem. Paul's not really trying to get back with the apostles. He's trying to build and establish his own new world order, if you will. He's trying to build and establish his own religion. So he writes to Thessalonica, doesn't want them to get taken astray from his doctrine by the apostles. And he writes things that are directly in response to James, like 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Paul says, our exhortation is not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. It's almost like he's saying, nuh-uh. It's a direct response to James saying that he was being deceitful and full of guile. Paul says, no, we're not being full of guile. And he goes on in verses 14 through 18 to talk about the people that are in Jerusalem, those brothers in Jerusalem who you are suffering things from, those who were involved in persecuting us, those that are forbidding us to speak, those that are of Satan. He goes on and calls the apostles of Yeshua his adversaries, his Satan, his adversaries. So folks, just by reading the first two books of the New Testament in order, you realize, man, there's a battle royal going on here. The apostles of the Lord of Jesus, of Yeshua, against the apostle Paul, and it was a battle for the minds of men. And I believe, you know, they've won, obviously. There's been 2,000 years of Pauline Christianity ruling the world. It looks like they've won, but you know what? When we get the word out and people begin to read the Bible, the New Testament, in the correct chronological order, their victory will be overturned and overcome. Because when you read it in chronological order, you cannot come away with any other conclusion but, wow, there was a big fight, and I can either go with Yeshua and his apostles, or I can go with Paul, but there are two very different things. I can't pretend they're both the same. And that's what we're here for, is to show you that data so you can make that decision for yourself. But just because they've been in charge for 2,000 years doesn't mean that they're going to win overall. It just means they've been in charge for 2,000 years, and we're here to do everything we can to prevent another 2,000 years of the domination of error by shining forth the light into the dark corners of orthodoxy. That's why we do what we do. But Paul now is being blasted by the apostles. So far, he's just like, nuh-uh, they're bad guys. So what he has to do, Paul has to come up with something to change the narrative. Paul has to come up with something to change the focus. And remember, he's not trying to influence the believers in Jerusalem. He's pretty much just written Jerusalem off. What he's trying to do is solidify his base, motivate his base, consolidate his base so that they don't get away from him. So in perfect fashion of a potentate, a dictator, a ruler, a president, a king, a prime minister, what Paul does is creates his first great diversion. And you've got to hand it to Paul. If you're going to lie, you might as well lie large. You might as well lie big. And that's exactly what Paul does. He basically says, no, James isn't right, and those guys don't like me. And then he launches in 1 Thessalonians, which, remember, is the first book that Paul wrote and is the second book of the New Testament. It's the first book Paul wrote. It's the second book of the New Testament in reality, but in their false world, it's like in the middle of the New Testament. So, see, it's just a crock. Anyway, we've been over that a bunch. So Paul says, James is a liar, James is bad, I'm good. And then he launches into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. He launches into his first great diversion. And he starts talking about what has come to be known as the rapture of the church. Paul created it out of whole cloth in order to change the narrative, change the focus of him being identified as a false apostle. He made this up to take the heat off of him. And it reads in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord," and again, it's not Jesus, keep in mind there, it's the Lord. But I thought Jesus was coming back in the rapture. Well, folks, that's a clue for you. It is the Lord, but he may well be faking that he's Jesus. But anyway, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It really is the Lord, the capital L-O-R-D, who may be faking that he's Jesus, but or may be faking that he's Yeshua. That would be plastic Jesus faking that he's Yeshua. But it is the Lord. It is not Yeshua, because Yeshua said, look, here's the first problem with this. Paul says, hey, man, this great thing's going to happen. You're going to see the Lord in the air. People are going to rise up. The graves are going to empty. Then we that are alive are going to be caught up with them. Man, it's going to be a great thing. The only problem is Yeshua said, when the Pharisees asked him, what's the sign of the end and what should we be looking for? Yeshua's like, yo, bro, there is no sign of the coming kingdom, because the kingdom's already come. The kingdom is in you. Yeshua said that, not Jeffrey Darty. Yeshua said, in direct question of, and remember, Paul was a Pharisee. They asked him, what are the signs of the end times and what should we be looking for? And Yeshua said, you shouldn't be looking for anything. And he went on to say, it's a wicked and an adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. And that's very important information. I just received that. I was on a fast for 4 days, and that was just dropped into my heart. A wicked and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Christianity and its Protestant and its Catholic manifestations are constantly seeking after signs. Eschatology, end time, left behind, you know, rapture, mid-trib, pre-trib, post-trib, bowls, trumpets, vials, antichrist, rebuilt temple. They're looking for signs, 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 signs. I feel like that old comedian, here's your sign, stupid. Yeshua said there aren't going to be any signs, but it's a wicked and an adulterous people that seek a sign. Wicked is the perfect explanation of the Roman Catholic Church, especially in its generation that is seeking a sign. What is more wicked than the abuse and sexual tormenting of young boys? That's wicked. It is a wicked group of people. The Roman Catholic Church, wicked, seeking after signs. And it's also an adulterous group of people. Adulterous like the Protestant religion, with the replete preachers and pastors and evangelists being caught up in innumerable sexual affairs, not to mention innumerable financial affairs. And James just got finished telling us that rich people are adulterers because they're friends with the world. It's a perfect description. Roman Catholic Christianity and Protestant Christianity constantly seeking after signs. Wicked, adulterous generation seeking after signs, when Yeshua has already said there won't be any signs because the kingdom of God has already come. There's not going to be a second coming. Not with Yeshua involved. There's not going to be any great end time events, not with Yeshua involved, because the kingdom's already come. The kingdom's inside you. The kingdom's inside me if we choose to embrace it. And all this other stuff, all this other eschatology, end time, all of this garbage is garbage meant to distract you and keep you from the truth. And Paul, and I'm going to show you right here as we close today in our final few minutes, why it's patently stupid, patently false, and you're gonna do one of those, you know, hit yourself in your forehead with the heel of your hand when you realize how stupid it is and how much you've been duped. Paul says that the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the trumpet call of God. Does that sound a little bit militaristic to anybody other than me? For the Lord is going to descend. He's going to have the voice of the archangel, which is really a military command, the trumpet call of God, which is a military command, all of this militarism. But anyway, and then the dead in Christ will rise first. So these people are going to come out of their graves at this event called the rapture that Paul creates in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. I've got a question. At the trump, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, Paul teaches that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those that have believed in plastic Jesus are going to get up out of their graves and rise first. I have a question for you. The rapture, depending upon what you believe and what you've been taught, will occur either 7 years before the second coming of plastic Jesus or 3.5 years before the second coming of plastic Jesus. So, 3.5 years or 7 years before the coming of plastic Jesus, these people that are dead and in their graves rise. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:52 that the second coming of Jesus is the last trump. And at the last trump, we will be changed in an instant. At the last trump, this mortality will put on immortality. At the last trump, these physical bodies will be changed into spiritual bodies. That happens at the last trump. The trump in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is obviously not the last trump. It's actually the first trump. So my question is, if 1 Corinthians 15:52 says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead will be raised incorruptible and we will be changed. If mortality, flesh, is going to be changed at the last trump, what in the world is going to happen to these dead that have risen at the first trump? What happens to them for 3.5 years? What happens to them for 7 years? You got corpses rising, first trump, at the rapture that Paul made up. See, he didn't think it through. And it's not for 3.5 or 7 years that the corruption is changed to incorruption, that rotting flesh is changed to spiritual in Pauline terms. So for 3.5 years, folks, you got zombies in heaven. Or for 7 years, you got zombies in heaven. That's what Paul's teaching. You can't have it any other way. He messed up. He didn't think it through. He didn't think it through. Or Luke, his scribe, busted him out. We'll talk more about that in the weeks and months to come. But folks, for at least 3.5 years, you're going to have zombies in heaven. God let Rick and Daryl and Carl please make the rapture. Those are the guys from The Walking Dead, because we're going to need help if we're part of those that are alive and remain and are caught up together with these zombies to meet the Lord in the air. Jeff, that's ridiculous. Exactly right. It is ridiculous. Paul created the rapture to take the heat off himself, and he didn't think it through. And we'll be back on Monday to pick up this narrative and talk more about it. If you want to know more or ask me questions between now and then, jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com. And until then, I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, and I'm wishing you peace and enlightenment.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit ChristianWhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.